today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
From the youngest boy and girl here to the oldest person in the sanctuary here, you must trust Christ alone. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no rite or ritual or religious good deed that can save your soul. Only Christ can save you. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It means freedom, it means faith, and it means that now I can live to the glory of God.
Jesus' purpose for coming to earth was to redeem fallen man back to God. The cost for Jesus to buy your redemption from sin and death was His own precious sinless blood shed on the cross. Your salvation is something you could never purchase for yourself. And because you are redeemed, Pastor John explains today that you can now live a holy life. In all you do in life, live for the glory of God in response to His incredible gift of redemption. Serve Him, worship Him, and give Him your whole self. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 as he continues his message, The Wonder of Redemption.
What are we redeemed from? What are we redeemed from? And the answer is therefore is in verse 18. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversation, from the tradition of our fathers. Now, first of all, we were redeemed from the bondage of our sinful, empty lives. In verse 18, he says, from the empty way of life handed down from your ancestors. So we are saved from our sinful past. We're saved from our empty, sinful past lives. Our old life was empty, it was vain, it was hollow, and we're saved from that sinful, empty past. Peter's description of the past life. Turn with me to chapter 4 of 1 Peter. It's amazing how he describes it. Notice in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Who suffered in the flesh, he has ceased from sin, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the lust of the flesh, in the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now here it is, verse 3. This is the life that we were saved from. In time past, your life may suffice to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. This is how the sinful, wicked Gentiles lived. When you walked in lasciviousness, that is unbridled lust. You walked in excesses of wine. You walked in revelings or riotous parties. It was the party life. You walked in banquetings. You walked in abominable idolatries. He describes our past life there, and that's what we're saved from. Now, the unbelieving world, and when you get saved, verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. But he describes there the life that we used to live that we are now saved from. Now, the picture in the Old Testament of redemption is the Exodus. That is the ultimate picture of redemption. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. For some 400 years, they were slaves to Egypt. And then God brought them out of the Egyptian bondage. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By a strong arm. But the blood of the Lamb was slain, put on the doorpost, the lintel of the house. And then the death angel passed over the home of the children of Israel, and they were brought out. All the other plagues did not avail to allow Pharaoh to let them go, but finally they were released. That is their redemption. So they were redeemed by the blood. Egypt is a picture of the old sinful life of bondage. It's interesting in typology that Egypt being a picture of our old sinful life. You know that as far as the geography and topography of the land of Egypt, you know that Egypt is like flat. Egypt is like flat. What do I mean by that? the old life is boring. It's really boring. I don't like living where it's just flat. You ever been like to, you know, East Texas or places, states where it's just like flat? You can't tell where you're at, you know? And well, you look at have to look at a building or a tree to tell where you're at. I like Southern California. We got mountains at least. You can kind of tell a little bit where you're at, you know, and get your bearings. Egypt's just flat. Maybe that's why they built the pyramids, so they'd know where they were. But when they went to the land of Israel, you ever been to Israel? You're supposed to just go, no, yes, no, no. They went to Israel, and God actually said this to them. The land that you go to possess is the land of what? Hills and valleys. Hills and valleys. You know what that means? The Christian life is not boring. You walk with the Lord, you don't get bored. Amen? Amen. You walk with the Lord, you don't get bored. It's got high points. It's got high experiences. And it's got low experiences. You go, I'm in the valley right now. Matter of fact, I've been in the valley for quite some time, bro. But the Christian life is a land of hills and valleys, and it says it's the land the Lord looks over and the Lord smiles on and the Lord rains upon. The Christian life is a land of hills and valleys. Egypt, the old sinful life, it's flat. It's boring. The Christian life is exciting, and God looks over that land. Now, it's interesting, we're also redeemed, secondly, Galatians 3:13, from the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on the tree. So we're saved from our sinful past. We're saved from the curse of the law. Jesus died on the cross for us to take the penalty of the law for us. We're redeemed from the law's penalty. And then thirdly, one day we will be freed from our very earthly bodies. Romans chapter 8, verse 23, we groan earnestly waiting for the redemption to wait the redemption of our bodies. Your body will be redeemed. You're going to get a new glorified body. When? At the rapture of the church. And that's a glorious, glorious prospect. So we're redeemed from our empty sinful lives. We're redeemed from the law and its curse, and one day we will redeem from our very own bodies of humiliation. But the second question I want to ask is, what are we redeemed by? And this is the heart of this text. What are we redeemed by? Now, first of all, what we're not redeemed by, verse 18. We are not redeemed with perishable things such as silver and gold. You see that there? You cannot buy your salvation. You can't go, okay, God, I got a bunch of money. Can that get me into heaven? You die, you go to heaven. Peter standing by the pearly gate, which he's not, by the way. You can't go, okay, Peter, here, can I pay you off? If I slip you some money, will you let me in? I love this verse, the negative, first of all. Not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. You're not redeemed by tradition. You're not redeemed by the tradition received by your forefathers. What are we redeemed by? Let me give them to you, verse 19. First of all, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. Peter loves this word precious. He uses it in chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 7. I don't know how, but years and years ago, it just stuck in my brain. I must have been doing a study of 1 Peter, and it just stuck in my brain. And now when I pray in the precious name of Jesus. The precious name of Jesus. What a precious name that is. What does the word precious mean? It means costly. In the sense of value. It means to highly esteem or to hold in honor. When you say something is precious, that means that thing is of high value. It's of great worth. This term is used in Australia. I ministered a lot in Australia. It's used in Great Britain a lot. You go, it's precious. Precious, mate. You go, what in the world are you talking about? It means it's nice. It's cool. I like it. Precious. And we think that's kind of a sissy word, you know, precious. Guys don't use the word precious. Can you see Peter the fisherman? It's precious. But it is. It's so valuable. It's so costly. It's to be honored, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Notice it's the blood of Christ. And by the way, Jesus didn't come to show us the Christ consciousness. He is the Christ. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. There is no other. He is the person of the Christ. He is Christ. Christ is not some power that floats around and zaps different people at periods in history. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. And it's His own blood, the very precious blood of God's own Son. The precious blood of God's own Son. No blood more costly or valuable. God left heaven in the person of Christ, came down to earth, did not cease being God, became a man. He was the God-man and shed His blood on a cross for your sins. How valuable is that? What amazing, amazing thing that is. As, verse 19, of a lamb without blemish and spot. What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, lambs were used as the sacrifice, and they were the type. Jesus is what's called the antitype. He's the fulfillment. And the fulfillment, or what's called the antitype, is always greater than the type. The fulfillment is always greater than the type. The fulfillment heightens or is greater than the type. So if they took an actual lamb in the Old Testament and they slayed the lamb, if Jesus is the lamb, He's greater than the lambs in the Old Testament. And when it says without blemish and spot, the word blemish indicates He had no inherited defect, and spot indicates He had no acquired defect. And let me explain that. It's significant. No inherited defect because He was born of a virgin. He did not inherit sin at His birth. He was born without a sinful nature. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was fully God and fully man. And in His full humanity, there was no sinfulness. Jesus never thought a sinful thought. Jesus never lusted. He never thought a bad thought. He never did anything sinful in any way, any shape, or form. And anyone ever indicates that Jesus did anything sinful, thought anything sinful, again, that's blasphemy. Jesus was the pure, sinless Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. And spot means acquired even. And what does that mean? It means He lived His entire life as a man on planet Earth and never sinned. He didn't inherit any sin. He didn't acquire any sin. Jesus never sinned. I don't know about you, but that's quite a feat. I don't know that I'd get through a day without asking the Lord, "Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I sinned." Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. So He's the only one who qualifies to atone for your sin and to redeem us. That's why John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who carries away the sins of the world." That's why in Revelation 5, when we are caught up to heaven, we're going to be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power and praise." Christ's redemptive death was foreordained. I want you to notice that in verse 20 of our text. Go back with me to chapter 1 and verse 20. "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times." Jesus' death was not an afterthought. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God didn't go, oh man, what am I going to do now? Let me think. Oh no, you know, I got to get the angels together, have a little powwow, and try to figure out, what are we going to do to redeem man back to God? Do you know that before the worlds were ever created, God knew man would be created, man would fall, man would sin. God knew he would send his son Jesus to die on the cross. You don't think God knows what he's doing? You think God's in control? The death of Jesus Christ was according to the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was preordained. And then notice also in verse 20, it was manifest in these last days or last times for you. In the fullness of time when it came, God sent forth his son, made of the woman under the law, to redeem those under the law. So God came at the perfect time to save us from our sin. And notice in verse 20, it tells us that he came in these last times for who? For you and for me. Praise God. And thirdly and lastly, I'd like to ask the question, what are we redeemed to? What are we redeemed to? Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Now I want you to notice in verse 21, two more facts about Jesus. Through him we believe in God. He revealed God and brings God to us. I love that verse 21, who by him do believe in God. It's through and by Jesus Christ that we believe in God. And there we have his resurrection. We have so his incarnation and his resurrection raised him from the dead. So Jesus came to reveal God, and we learned to believe in God, and then he raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. So he was raised literally from among the dead. It speaks of his resurrection. What does all this mean? It means basically three things. First of all, it means freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin and the old life and the law and our bodies of sin, as I said. And secondly, it means faith and hope. I love that, verse 21, that we might have our faith and our hope in who? That we might have our faith and our hope in who? In God. I hope your faith and your hope is in God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. If your faith in the hope of salvation, eternal life, that you're going to heaven, is in anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ, it's a misdirected faith. If your faith is in your goodness or your righteousness, baptism, a rite or a ritual, your good deeds, your race, your religion, your creed, then it's a misguided faith. Your faith must be in Christ and Christ alone. Have you trusted Christ for salvation? And I believe that every one of us here in our heart of heart, you know in your heart whether or not you have trusted Christ. Maybe pride has kept you. Maybe sin, some cherished sin, has kept you. Maybe your pride, your ego, some cherished sin has kept you from fully trusting Christ. May you abandon that. May you say truly, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Communion can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Church attendance can't save you. Living a good life can't save you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. And that's why God sent his Son into the world to redeem and to save sinful men. From the youngest boy and girl here to the oldest person in the sanctuary here, you must trust Christ alone. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no rite or ritual or religious good deed that can save your soul. Only Christ can save you. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It means freedom, it means faith, and it means that now I can live to the glory of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, he says, know you not that you were bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body, which belongs to him. So we were redeemed to holiness, to service, and we were redeemed to worship God. We were redeemed to live holy lives, to serve God, and to worship him. The story is told of a woman by the name of Frances Havergal. She was a hymn writer. And when as a young woman, she saw a picture of the crucified Christ. And the caption under the photo, the picture, the painting, read, "This I did for thee, what hast thou done for me?" Quickly she wrote a poem, but dissatisfied with it, she threw it into a fireplace. The paper came out unharmed, and later her father's suggestion, she did publish the poem, and today we sing it. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? Good question. How can we simply sit and understand all that God did to redeem us? He had to leave the comfort of heaven, the glory of heaven, and the fellowship of the Father, come down to a sinful world, be despised, rejected, and hated of man, spat upon, crucified on a cross, given his life on a cruel, cruel cross. He took all of our pain. He took all of our shame. He bore all of our agony, all of our suffering. Naked he hung openly on a cross and bled and suffered and died to save you from eternal hell. And he calls to you to say, trust me. Put your faith in me and I will save you. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. How can we come to Christ as our Redeemer and not then say to him, Lord, take my life and let it be a sacrifice for you. Take my life, Lord, and let me live my life in holiness and service. Another one of my favorite songs of redemption says, and I'll quote it and close, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and set me free.
Today, Pastor John explained how you were redeemed from sin and described what you were redeemed for. You were bought with Jesus' precious blood to live a holy life. Because of what Jesus has done, you should respond in worship, service, and love. He calls on you to trust him. And how can you not? After understanding all Jesus went through to give you freedom and eternal life. Today's teaching is closing out, but before we go, Pastor John wants to talk with you about how you can connect with us.
Our heart's desire at Revival Radio is to see people grow in the knowledge of God's Word. If you live near Menifee in Southern California, we'd love to invite you to join us on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. In all of our services, we worship, study God's Word, and we have great fellowship one with another. At Revival, we offer ministries for the whole family, including youth, children, young adults, as well as studies for men and women. Check out our website, revival.tv, for service times and directions.
I hope to see you there.
Traditionally, the early Jewish believers in Christ believed that what they did as a Jew, all their rituals and regulations plus faith in Christ, is what would save them. However, as Pastor John will teach next time on Revival Radio, this is heresy. There is nothing you can do as a believer to earn your salvation. You're simply not capable of being perfect enough. But Christ was. He died on a cross, and that did it all. There's much more to learn from Pastor John's series, Selected Messages on the Cross of Christ, so we invite you to tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.